If you'll take your Bibles, please, and turn to John 20 tonight. I want to share with you the message tonight. I want to share tonight and at Berryhill Manor is entitled The Christless Christmas of the Modern World, and it's not an original title with me. Actually, it comes from an article that I read some time ago in the American Conservative magazine. A man by the name of Rod Dreher wrote a very lengthy article on statistics through the Barna Group and several other groups that do polling and so forth on Christian college campuses specifically, but also in secular colleges, things of that nature, to kind of take the temperature of what's going on. And he wrote an article called The Christless Christmas. The Christless Christmas. And as I said, it's very interesting. It said, it's not a war on Christmas. That's how it begins. Christmas is a yearly event, seems robust in America, but the de-Christianization of Christmas is the real thing. And he gives a bunch of statistics, which I won't share with you at this time, but he says people still observe Christmas in America. And this is the key. It's just that fewer people believe in the reason for Christmas. And then he goes through and he gives some poll statistics related to the doctrines of the incarnation and the virgin birth and the census that was taken, which caused Joseph and Mary to go to Bethlehem and then the trip to Egypt. They go down a whole list of the different things, and it was amazing how few people who say they're Christians actually believe the biblical account concerning the nativity of Jesus Christ, His reason for coming, the miracles that were involved with the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Now, why is that? That was my first question. And he gives several different things. He says concerning American population, he says, we've had the rise of the nuns. These are people who do not have any religious affiliation. These religious nuns also have been growing as a share of the U.S. population, although the religiously unaffiliated share of respondents in the December 2017 survey is similar in size to the unaffiliated share of the December 2014 sample. So there hadn't been a whole lot of change in the numbers that are there. At the same time, a new study finds a small but significant decline in the share of Christians who believe in the Christmas narrative contained in the Bible. And what we are finding as we minister to kids here at Santa Rosa Christian School, as we minister to children at Gospel Project Jack Summer Day Camp Program and over in the Learning Center, is that more and more kids are coming to us and they don't know a thing from this book. You talk about a mission field? It's right here. We don't have to go out looking for a mission field. They come to us every day. And I am amazed. I've had some conversations with students. To be sure, large majorities of Christians still believe in key elements of the nativity story as described in the Bible, but the shares of Christians who believe in the virgin birth, the visit of the Magi, the announcement of Jesus' birth by an angel, and the baby Jesus lying in the manger have all ticked downward in recent years. In other words, I don't believe it. I don't believe it happened. It's part of the fiction of Christmas. Overall, the share of Christians who believe in all four of these elements of the Christmas story has dipped from 81% in 2014 to only 76% today. This decline has been particularly pronounced among, now get this, white, mainline Protestants. White, mainline Protestants. Now, we've been saying for a year that the mainline denominations are not preaching the Bible. They're preaching books about biblical themes, but that's not the Bible. And this is where we have to be careful. God never once said that He inspired books about the Bible. Bible. Now, you better get it in your heart and mind, Christian. Books about the Bible may be helpful, but they are not inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is inspired in the original manuscripts, and God has said, I have preserved my Word. And so when you open your Bible and you begin to read, you are reading the truth from God. When you open a book about the Bible, you're reading somebody's opinions and writings and from their learned backgrounds or whatever, but it's still not God's Word. And you know what mainline denominations have done? They make this book equal with all these other books that they share and read. One of the signs that a church is going downhill is when a church stops preaching God's Word and starts going into what men say. Men say. Men say. We have to stay on our toes and saturate our teaching with the Word of God. And so among white mainline denominations, people are losing their grasp of the written, authoritative Word of God, and they're saying, I don't know about the manger thing. I don't know about that. What are they doing? They're interpreting it through our current culture. You never see that. Well, of course not. We're not living how they lived 2,000 years ago. And you know what? The people that were living at the time of Christ's birth weren't living like those that lived 2,000 years before them. Things happen and change. I'm very thankful that we have hospitals, but they didn't have them back in those days. We have a tendency to interpret Scripture from my life right now. And that's a problem. You have to let Scripture speak as God gave it. And then my thinking is adjusted to this book, not the other way around. Now, this book is completely applicable to every time period. Do I hear an amen? Completely so. It's just as relevant to me now as it was to the Apostle Paul when he got it from the Holy Spirit of God. We're living 2,000 years apart, but God's Word is still powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Oh, wow, I want to tell you something. Nothing has diminished in the power of the Word except for the fact that we walked away from it and we said, oh, these other books here, they're a lot more interesting. And immediately they said, well, genealogies are so boring. Well, who reads the genealogies every day? Doesn't the Bible offer variety? If you have a steady diet of just the Psalms, you're going to have a misinterpretation. Okay, are you listening to me? And if you only read from the New Testament, I only read from the New Testament. I've had people tell me that many, many times over the years. As a matter of fact, there's a church in Pensacola that does not use the Old Testament. In their pews, they have only New Testaments, and they only study the writings of the Apostle Paul because they said everything else is not for us. That's heresy. Why did Paul tell the Corinthian believers? That which was written aforetime was written for our what? Admonition and learning. So I guess the Apostle Paul was wrong when he said that. If we're only supposed to write or listen to the things that the Apostle Paul wrote. We are living in dangerous times today because what's happening is we're moving very slowly away from the authority and power of this book, and we're substituting other things in, and we're losing our grasp of revelation. And so when you say, well, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, I don't believe that. I mean, in our sophisticated society today, I mean, that would never happen. Yeah, you're right. It only happened one time. Do you know why the shepherds made haste to Bethlehem? It was because they had tickets to see everything? No. It wasn't ever going to happen again. It was never going to happen again. I got to see the Hale-Bopp comet in 1997 when it came through and we looked up into the sky and said, there goes the Hale-Bopp comet. I'm never going to see it again. Never going to see it again. It'll be after my lifetime before it makes its cycle again. There are over 6,000 comets. I was reading just last night in the life of Oswald Chambers. In August the 29th, when he was in Japan in 1907, he said, "Quick, come out on deck. You can see a comet." So I said, that'd be interesting. What comet did he see? So I started looking up in the comet charts, and I found out what comet it was. It was some R12 something or other, and it hasn't been seen since 1907. It was the only time it's been seen. It's on a wide, wide loop belt that doesn't come back through probably for another 100 years or so. But you see all these wonderful things that God has made, and it speaks that there is a God. He has chosen to speak to us through His Word. And what do we do? I don't believe all that stuff. I don't believe what the Bible says about child rearing. I don't believe, the stuff about the virgin birth and, incarnation, God becoming flesh. That just doesn't happen. Why do you think that way? Because you've swallowed the evolutionary garbage of the world. You're just right in with the culture, floating along with them, that hasn't thought an honest thought in their whole life. And you just think it's not possible that God could reveal Himself in His Word with all the authority and power of His Holy Spirit. God help us if that's our attitude. But it affects every one of us, I'm telling you. It affects every one of us. We start handling things differently rather than handling things biblically. When we start interpreting things, I don't know about that. That's under doubtful things. Boy, have I heard that over the years. Well, that's a doubtful thing. Well, would you please tell me how it's doubtful when the Bible says such and such? How is that doubtful? Doubtful is I put my steak in the on the grill and I forget about it, and I come back an hour later. Doubtful is it's going to be edible. That's doubtful. Everybody figure that out? 400 degrees, steak out there for an hour, it's going to be charbroiled beyond recognition. All right? They can use it to play hockey with. It's not going to be... There's something doubtful. Before I open the lid and look down in there and I see the little briquette that used to be an expensive steak, that's doubtful whether I can eat that. When you have the thus saith the Lord, when you have a verse that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, you better not go and put that in the doubtful category. Because there's preachers all across America, I read their articles, that's not a promise. That's just a general principle. Then why didn't he word it as a general principle? Why didn't he say otherwise? You see, the problem is we don't want to take the blame for anything. We want to say, well, I did it all the right way and they just didn't turn out. Obviously, you didn't. Just be honest. Is it okay to be honest? It's like when the police officer pulls you over for speeding. And immediately, in the American mind, I've got 16 excuses that I'm ready to use. Right? Oh, officer, I was just thinking about school. Getting my kids to school. Education, is so important. And I was a little heavy on the gas. Give me a break, please. Yeah. Or I had no idea that I was traveling 25 miles over the speed limit. Or, this wonderful, my speedometer's broke. Here's one that's commonly used. I have oversized tires on my vehicle. And those oversized tires have caused my speedometer to be off by 25 miles an hour. And the officer's like riding faster. Oh, the numbers are going up while you talk. Lying like a dog on a rug. Yeah. We come up with all this kind of stuff, folks, because we don't believe the revelation of God's Word. I thought about in John chapter 20, in verse 13, about this matter of the Christless Christmas of the modern world. And I was reading recently in John 20 and verse 13. Here is Mary, beginning at verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Now get this, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Now in her mind, somebody had stolen the body of Jesus Christ. Was she right? No, she wasn't. She wasn't right. Jesus Christ had taught, I'm going to be raised from the dead. But she's thinking, she's mourning the fact that someone has taken away the Lord Jesus. And I thought about this in regard to modern thought today about Christmas. We may feel just like Mary. They have taken away the Lord. They have stripped the meaning of Christmas. But in reality, folks, you can't do that. You can't do that. God is still God, and He's still on the throne. And He has a Son by the name of Jesus Christ, who's coming again. A trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is anybody going to stop that? No. No. I think sometimes we're like Mary. We think like she does. But that's just normal human thoughts. How have they taken away Christ? Why they have taken away Christ, and what you can do to find Christ. These are three things that I want to bring out as we contemplate. Let's put ourselves in Mary's shoes for just a moment. And we think, all right, they've taken away Christ. They've stripped the value away from the true meaning of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. People don't believe that anymore. How have they taken away Christ? Let me share with you some thoughts here. These are a collection of things that you can find online from newspaper articles. A city manager in the state of Washington has told city employees that they cannot say Merry Christmas. No surprise, Washington State, one of the most liberal places. You can't say Merry Christmas. Here we go again, right? Instead, while on the job, they are forced to say Happy Holidays. My point is this, why are people struggling with Merry Christmas? By the way, it was Charles Dickens that coined the phrase in 1843 in a little book called A Christmas Carol. Merry Christmas. And so everybody puts that, it's in the Bible. I know it's in the Bible, don't say it. We got a bunch of dumb, ignorant people in this world. And they panic, hit the panic button over every little thing. Christless Christmas. You can't have Christ in Christmas. Not only that, in Glasgow, Scotland, they changed the name Christmas to, get this, Shine On. That's the new name. Recently, they changed it again to Winter Festival. The city of Birmingham, England, has officially changed Christmas to Winterval. That's catchy. And the city of Sheffield, England, no longer says that it puts up Christmas lights anymore because people were offended by that. They are now officially city lights. Residents of Luton, England, Christmas ceremonies will be called Luminos because it comes from a wildly popular line from the Harry Potter books. Okay, Luminos. So now, you know, Harry Potter's setting the thing. Nobody's offended by that, but everybody's offended by Christmas lights. You see how ridiculous things have gotten? Ian Bainbridge, a spokesman for the Christian Institute, calls it politically correct paranoia, a ridiculous overreaction of children. Basically what it is, immature children that are supposedly adults. Several Muslim groups in England have been against dropping the term Christmas. Bainbridge said he also noted that it is not so much an agenda of sensitivity to other faiths that the Muslim community has. It's more of a secular agenda. This is a good insight. It's actually the secularists who want all religion banned who are against the word Christmas. They want religion what? Banned. And that's why the Muslims are standing up, because what do they see coming? A ban on religion. And by the way, they're the fastest growing group in England, religious-wise. Now, they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid Him. What they have done in reality is refuse to recognize our Lord. We're going to stop here because we want plenty of time for prayer. But I want to lay a little bit of a foundation. I'm going to share a little bit more next Wednesday night when we're over at the convalescent center, and maybe in another service here as we approach Christmas. But folks, can they ban Jesus Christ? No. He's still on the throne. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's making intercession for you and for me. You can choose to reject the revelation of the Word of God, but you do so to your own peril. And I want to encourage you at this Christmas season to get into God's Word and refresh yourself on the wonderful miracles of the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? Wonderful miracles.
Oh, what a coincidence that they had a census at the same time that Mary was going to have a baby.
I watched a YouTube video talking about some of the nonsense that people are putting out. And that was one lady was talking about, and
she had her nose like this. And she said, what a coincidence.
You think there's coincidence like that? No, we saw the perfect plan of God. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. The Bible speaks to that. The problem is our old, rebellious, rotten heart. And it needs to be brought under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has atoned for our sin and has made forgiveness full and free available to all. What we must do is call upon His name. And the only way we know about the Lord Jesus Christ is from the revealed Word of God. That's how we know the full testimony of the truth of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, folks. When you're sitting around your Christmas tree, gaping and, oh, how are you, baby? Don't forget about the One who came to die for your sin. Okay? There needs to be time spent with your children and your grandchildren. Talk about what Christmas is all about. It's not about me getting 1,000 gifts and forgetting about them 2 days later. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift that should never be forgotten, the One who atoned for my sin. Father in heaven, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. Pray now Your blessing upon our prayer time, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.